This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
Most everybody believes the song is about Rosanna Arquette.
Uh-huh.
And it's in every rock book. And, Rosanna's about Rosanna Arquette.
You should know by now that rock stars aren't going to take the easy way out. Rosanna. Oh, it's about Rosanna Arquette. Why? Because.
No, there's always a story behind it.
Class is in.
Time once again for Rock School on your radio. See, you're looking right at the radio, and Rock School's playing, so it must be time. I'm Joe Burns.
Oh, I'm exhausted, Pete.
Oh, yeah, see?
Well, see, we did that show last week on Mardi Gras. You remember when Beth West was in here?
What'd you give up for Lent?
I gave up...
Going to Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I need to.
Got to set it away for a whole another year.
Right.
It'll kick on.
Woo!
This week on Rock School, I got to tell you... Beth is a librarian here on the campus.
Yep.
I use interlibrary loan all the time. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds like I'm a geek, and I am.
No, but you're a professor.
But I use interlibrary loan all the time, and every so often what I do is I just sort of scan used book sites,
mm-hmm.
and I just sort of put in music and rock music and things like that.
Yeah, see if there are any good
books.
Publications out
right.
there.
And I ran into this one by a guy named Michael Heatley, H-E-A-T-L-E-Y. And when I got it, I couldn't believe what a wealth of information it was. The book is called The Girl in the Song, The True Stories Behind 50 Rock Classics. What he's done is he's taken 50 songs that talk about a girl.
Well, most there's a... There's
a lot of them.
There's a few of them out there, yeah.
But he's taken 50 in particular,
mm-hmm.
and he has explained who the woman is in the song.
Oh, cool.
Her background, and why they're actually talking about the woman in the song girl in the song.
So he may have taken Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline.
I brought that because
I know
it's one of your favorites.
Yeah, and explains who Caroline is.
Right, and we'll do that one a little later on in the show because I know it's one of your favorites.
Awesome.
He has a lot of Beatles songs in here, and rather than make this a big Beatles show, and I don't want to make it so that we do every song in the book because I want you to go out and buy the book. It's a great, great book. Once again, Michael Heatley, The Girl in the Song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Lucy is actually Lucy O'Donnell, who was 4 years old and was in the nursery school with classmate Julian Lennon when he painted Lucy surrounded with diamonds.
See, that's good information to have because you know the myth. A lot of people think that that song...
Means LSD.
That's right.
It does not.
Uh-huh.
It was from Julian Lennon's picture.
It's about a woman
who
named Lucy.
This? Right, a little girl named Lucy in the sky with diamonds. Lovely Rita... The Beatles,
mm-hmm.
Meter Maid, is actually about a meter maid whose name is Meta, who gave Paul McCartney a couple of tickets outside of the Abbey Road studios.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Meta, but Meta wasn't pretty for the song, so he changed it to Rita.
Yeah, because who wants to hear Lovely Meta?
Yeah, it didn't fly very well.
Mm-mm.
And it goes into a lot more background on who this woman is. He actually interviews her for the book.
Nice.
And we'll finish on this one. Dear Prudence... From the White Album.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Prudence?
I don't know.
Prudence is Prudence Farrow, as in the sister of Mia Farrow.
Oh.
Do you remember in 1967 that the Beatles went to Maharishi Mahesh Yoga's place in India to learn transcendental meditation?
No, I'm sorry. I don't recall
that. Okay, well, they did. And she, Prudence Farrow, had actually been meditating since 1966. And if you see, there's a very famous picture of the four Beatles sitting there. Prudence Farrow is sitting immediately to the left of, or Ringo Starr's right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't miss her. She's right there. Apparently, she failed to heed the Maharishi's statements that you can meditate too much.
Oh.
And she was spending untold hours per day meditating, and the Beatles thought she was going insane.
Hmm.
So what they did is they wrote this song, Dear Prudence, and sat outside of her door while she was meditating, singing this song to her, trying to get her out of her room. You know, the clouds will be a daisy chain. Let me see you smile again. Won't you come out to play? She, Prudence Farrow, said she never heard them singing to her. She never knew they wrote this song until the White Album came out. In fact, it had to be explained to her that she was the Prudence in Dear Prudence.
Wow.
And stated that she was very, you know, very flattered that the song was actually written about her. Here she is. This is Dear Prudence, Prudence Farrow, right here, Rock School. Rock School, as we talk about a book, The Girl in the Song, the true stories behind 50 rock classics. What are you laughing at?
What do you think Prudence Farrow said? Really? That's about me? No, the other lady named Prudence who wouldn't come out of her room because she was meditating too much, you dork.
Oh, her.
Oh.
That's right, yeah.
Whoops.
Let's talk about Toto and the song Rosanna. Most everybody believes the song is about Rosanna Arquette.
Uh-huh.
And it's in every rock book. And, you know, oh, Rosanna's about Rosanna Arquette. Not so, according to this book by Michael Heatley.
Who does he say it's about?
Well, Rosanna is actually taken from Rosanna Arquette, but here's how she got involved in it.
Okay.
Apparently, she was dating Steve Picaro, who was the keyboardist of Toto around 1981. Apparently, she also dated the guitarist Steve Lukather, but it was Steve Picaro she was dating at the time of this. They were recording Toto 4. That's the album that Rosanna is on. She was in the studio while the band was putting the album together.
Mm-hmm.
It was not Steve Picaro, but the other keyboardist in the group, a guy named David Paich, who wrote the song Rosanna and brought it to the recording session. He, the guy who wrote it, Paich, states Rosanna is not about Rosanna Arquette. He didn't even know her.
Oh.
Had no idea who she was. Well, he knew her as a, you know, an actress.
Right.
But didn't know her
past that.
You know, it's like, I know Cher.
Sure.
Yeah, I know her as an actress, but that's about it. He states, Rosanna is about three different girls that he knew all rolled into one. He had a name for the song, which was a girl's name. The problem was, if you know the song, they sing it, and it's the ah sound that they hang on to. Rosanna, oh yeah, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
The name that he had just didn't fit. They didn't have a vowel in there in the center to hang on to.
Right, right.
And it wasn't fitting. Rosanna fit. And he simply took her name, and Rosanna became basically carved into stone right Toto's song.
Right.
Had nothing to do with her, but her name fit perfectly.
So it's like if I was Brad Delp from Boston,
right,
and I really wanted to write a song for my wife Stephanie, but yeah, Stephanie doesn't phonetically fit into the song.
Find somebody
just
else
and
stick her in there. Amanda, perfectly. So Rosanna's the name of the song.
That's cool.
But it has nothing to do with Rosanna.
See, I like stories like that. That
perfect.
Makes sense.
Sounds like this. Rock School. All right, just a couple minutes before the first break, as we talk about The Girl in the Song.
You should know by now that rock stars aren't going to take the easy way out. Rosanna. Oh, it's about Rosanna Arquette. Why? Because.
No, there's always a story behind it.
Yeah, there's got to be a story behind it.
This one's great because I'd like to tell you that I think this one's true. However, we're going to do a show.
Not?
I'm not sure. We're going to do a show in a little bit here about a woman from, well, Baton Rouge, who passed herself off as someone else.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Well, and it has to do with Billy Joel, but I want to play the song here just because it's a funny story.
You must be talking about Uptown Girl.
Yeah, I am talking about Uptown Girl, but this is a funny story.
Go ahead.
Period.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not sure that this is the true story. Apparently, while vacationing in the Caribbean.
Huh?
Mr. William Joel, who is this short, stocky guy from New York,
yeah,
who apparently can get supermodels to date him.
Sure.
I got to learn to play the piano, Chad.
Billy Joel. Billy Joel, man.
I have to learn to play the piano.
Well, you need some Lemon Scented Pledge first.
He was singing. He was singing to a few already famous supermodels mm-hmm. around the piano in mm-hmm. the piano bar.
Yeah.
And apparently they were fawning all over him. Well, he apparently dated a couple of them, Christie Brinkley and Elle McPherson.
What?
Yes.
He did?
Elle McPherson. The girl they refer to as the body.
Yeah.
Elle McPherson.
If you... Look him up.
Well, Christie Brinkley you can probably pick out, but Elle McPherson... Unbelievable.
Gah.
I know. I'm with you. Apparently, he wrote, here's where the funny part comes in. He wrote Uptown Girls from his Innocent Man album mm-hmm. to be plural. He was singing about both of them uh-huh. or all of these girls he was singing to. And it was named Uptown Girls.
Girls.
Until he became somewhat involved with Christie Brinkley. And he went, well, I should probably only sing about you. And it became Uptown Girl.
Well, that was easy because all he had to do was drop the S in the title.
Sure,
because and you
it
can
fit.
Still say Uptown Girls, you know how I blah blah.
Sure.
Or Uptown Girl, you know. So
right.
the pronoun was still the same.
Sure. Honey, is this song about me? Yeah, sure it is.
Yeah, let me go get the liquid paper.
Here's Billy Joel, Rock School. All right, first break here on Rock School. You familiar with Phil Collins?
Okay.
All right.
Are you really asking me that?
Yeah. He was, before he became the drummer for Genesis, mm-hmm. He was trying to become an actor. He was actually in A Hard Day's Night, the Beatles' A Hard Day's Night. In fact, I can pick him out.
He was in that?
Yeah, when I show it in class, I actually point to him.
But he didn't play a prominent role.
No. He was an extra, but he's right up front. You can see him in the opening scene where the Beatles are running for the train.
Yeah.
You can see him right up front. While he was in his schooling, attempting to be an actor, mm-hmm. he met two women. One was called Lavinia Lang, and the other one was Andrea Bertarelli. Dated both girls over the next few years,
mm-hmm.
but ended up marrying Andrea Bertarelli.
Well, he did her a favor.
Right. It did not go well
after
Genesis really took off.
Uh-huh.
It was during the And Then There Were Three... album mm-hmm. touring when it really fell apart. Now that you just have that little bit of information, do you have any idea what song that Phil was talking about Andrea within?
No. No. Not the big super yeah. monster hit.
In the air tonight was Andrea, I hope I'm getting the name right, Bertarelli.
You're kidding.
Yeah, that's it. In case you're wondering, it's also her in the singles I Missed Again, If Living Me Is Easy, and the album name, Hello, I Must Be Going, is all about her. In fact, there's her picture right there.
Wow, she's a looker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's Phil Collins. I mean, come on. He's not exactly an ugly mutt himself. So, now, you asked about Guns N' Roses.
I did.
And I specifically have that song, Sweet Child O' Mine, and we'll come out of the break with it.
Well, I was asking you because I knew that you had Sweet Child O' Mine, but I said they wrote so many songs that had some shout-out to a female... That I'm surprised that he didn't have more to choose from.
Oh, I'll bet he did. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple. There's one specifically that I can't talk about on the original album, the one that really broke Appetite for Destruction,
mm-hmm.
that you can't really talk about because there actually is a female in the song. And feel free to go look that one up.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana, the original location for Appetite Destruction's recording.
Oh, yeah, it really was.
The studio wasn't open. It was a Sunday.
Yeah, so they went out to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Get us on Facebook, search Rock School Radio Show, and like us. You really like us. Back in a minute. Rock School. Well, you certainly ran to the internet very quickly after I sort of tipped that thing off. What's the name of the song on Appetite for Destruction?
It's Rocket Queen.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's actually written about a girl. Axel, it's something to do with a girl that wanted to have a band or something like that. Axel gets all deep and mysterious with it. She kind of kept me alive for a little while. Shut up, Axel. You're an idiot.
Yeah, feel free to look up actually how a lot of the sound was recorded.
Yeah.
Let's talk specifically about Sweet Child of Mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's written about a girl, Erin Everly, as in daughter of Don Everly.
And I tell you what, I'll give Axel his due on this, but I mean, that's some really good lyrics.
Oh, I
agree. She's got eyes of the blue in skies, and if they thought of rain, I'd hate to look into those eyes and see an ounce of pain.
Yeah, the problem is he gave most of the pain.
Really?
Yeah, he did. He was physically abusive to her, married her in 1990, and they annulled the marriage in 1991.
Mm.
And she, Everly, actually put a civil suit against him. And apparently won some money, but the amount was never given out. Apparently he was abusive to the point where he did it in public. And friends and family actually saw it. She, Everly, Erin Everly, is now married to an Atlanta architect and has three kids and is living out her life. But her time with Axl Rose was by no stretch of the imagination a wonderful time.
It's really a shame because Axl had the potential to go down, you know, in greatness. I mean, this guy could have been associated with just absolute brilliance, and instead he's known for just being a punk.
Yeah.
He really is.
It happens too many times.
Uh-huh.
Too many times. Here it is, Sweet Child O' Mine, Rock School.
And Guns N' Roses in general. I mean, those guys had the potential to be one of the absolute greatest. And now they're
kind of... Some people think they are.
Well, I don't know. I don't know because...
It's what's happened after the band broke up that took away from them.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, I mean,
One chocolate sundae kills 5 days of dieting.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, I have a quick question. I don't know if there's a term for this or not, but you may pick up on what I'm going to try to explain.
Okay.
A lot of Guns N' Roses songs, they start off one way, and then there's like a little bridge breakdown or whatever, and then they go into something that sounds like a completely different song. It's like having two songs wrapped into one. Sweet Child of Mine does it. November Rain does it.
Like a coda?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, what they call like the second half of Layla, the coda section. Uh-huh. So if I had to pick a name off the top of my head, and you're putting me on the spot, so I would say the coda.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, though? Sweet Child of Mine.
Exactly,
just start breaking
about
into that, where do we go now?
Right, it sounds like two songs pushed together.
Exactly. Estrange does it. I mean, a lot of their tunes.
But if I had to call something, it's probably the coda. But then again, there will probably be an email that basically says, Joe, shut up. Don't talk about things you don't know about.
Okay.
Welcome to the bottom of the hour. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
We're
going to
do Sweet Caroline coming out of this because you asked for it specifically. Let's do 7 days and 70 seconds first. These dates, February 20th through February 26th. Chad has Monday go.
February 20th in 1997. Ben and Jerry, you know, the ice cream people,
They
debuted their brand new flavor called Fish Food, and that's fish with a PH because it was named after your favorite band, Fish.
I can't stand fish. February 21st, 1958, the first Flying V guitar is manufactured and shipped out of the Gibson Guitar Factory in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Kalamazoo. February 28th, 1968, Genesis released its first single titled The Silent Sun.
February 23rd, 1970, Ringo Starr gives his first solo performance on the TV show Laugh-In. He didn't sing, just performed in some comedy bits.
February 24th, 1976, the Eagles' greatest hit album becomes the first album to be given platinum status by the RIAA.
February 25, 1992, George Harrison announces that today, February 25th, is his actual birthday. To this point, all the fan magazines and official literature had his birthday as the 24th. George stated that he just found out himself that all the paperwork and such was a day off, and he just wanted to make the record correct. I don't know how you find that out either.
I don't know how you get that wrong.
Yeah. February 26, 1955, Billboard magazine reports that for the first time, 45s are outselling 78s. They state rock and roll music, and the young people's love of it is probably the main reason, and that wraps up 7 days and 70 seconds.
45s are outselling 78s.
Well, there was a time when that
spinning
was the
on
way
the
it
ones
was.
And twos.
Yep. Sweet Caroline, Neil Diamond.
I love
Diamond.
This song.
Now, most people know it's Caroline Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Where did it come from? Apparently, Neil Diamond, he revealed this in 2007, saw a picture of Caroline Kennedy on the front of a 1962 cover of Life magazine. The caption read, "On her pony macaroni." Okay, so it's a cute little picture of a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
He says here, quote, "It was such an innocent, you know, wonderful picture, I immediately thought there was a song in there." Nobody really, you know, there was rumors that it was Caroline Kennedy, but he, Neil Diamond, never actually stated it. He believed that he should be the one to tell her that the song is about her.
Mm-hmm.
He waited until it was her, dig this, 50th birthday.
No way.
To tell her. Yeah, in 2007. He walked up to her on stage and said, "I just want to let you know that I'm going to announce it. Sweet Caroline is about you." And according to Caroline Kennedy, she said, I thought she might be embarrassed, but she seemed to be struck and was really, really happy about the song being about her.
What if she would have said, "Oh, yeah, I really don't like that song."
Yeah, don't do that. I wish you wouldn't announce that. Oh, then it's about Carolyn Smith, the
right.
girl I knew in grade school. So there's your one. You wanted it, and that's pretty much the story behind it. Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline, da, 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 Rock School.
So good.
Where it began.
Okay, going on with some more music from the book The Girl and the Song, The True Stories Behind 50 Rock Classics by Michael Heatley.
Did he not interview a lot of these artists that get that information firsthand?
Oh, it's well researched.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not only the artists, it's the actual woman
mm-hmm.
that was in it. The song by Pink Floyd, See Emily Play,
mm-hmm.
he actually has a long interview with Emily.
Oh, cool.
She's an artist. Mm-hmm. She works with rock and sculpture and things
like that.
Yeah. And apparently, when you say "see Emily play," they're talking about her sculpting.
Hmm.
So that's, I mean, and there's a long interview where she allows people to come in and see her doing her work.
Mm-hmm.
And she has "see Emily play"
right.
playing in the background.
Well, I would think
he
double checks that. Because are you familiar with a group called The Rentals?
Yes.
The Rentals have a song called "Friends of P." I could go in and say, "Oh, they're singing about me."
No, they're not.
Well, I know they're not, but I could say it.
I guess. Are you familiar with the song "Sarah" by Fleetwood Mac?
I am.
Okay. The original song, according to Christine McVie of Fleetwood Mac, so there's his source.
Yeah.
The original song was 16 minutes long because it was a verse about everybody in the group.
Wow.
Well, there's nobody in the group named Sarah. So who's Sarah?
I don't know.
Well, Stevie Nicks wrote the song. And again, according to Christine McVie, Stevie Nicks was having an affair with Mick Fleetwood. That was the band's drummer.
So it was right? two band members who were hooking
having
up.
An affair.
Okay.
However, he, Mick Fleetwood, was already married to mm-hmm. a woman named Jenny Boyd
okay,
while
so,
he was having the affair with Nicks.
Okay, so the drummer's married, but he's hooking up with the singer.
Right. He, the drummer, starts a second affair with Nicks' best friend, Sarah Recor. Ta-da!
Huh.
Nicks has confirmed in interviews since this mm-hmm. that Mick was indeed, and the lyrics you hear the singer, Stevie Nicks, talk about the great dark wind.
Mm-hmm.
That was Mick Fleetwood. So it seems pretty likely that the Sarah in the song was
the second affair lady.
The second affair lady, who, by the way, goes on to then marry Mick Fleetwood
wow.
in 1990. They had a very short marriage together. So Sarah is probably Sarah Recor, once best friend of Stevie Nicks.
I don't understand that. If I'm dating a woman, if you
yes.
and I are in a band and I'm dating a woman and you start fooling around with her, I'm
yeah.
not going to write a song and call it Joe.
Well, you also have to have two syllables. Sarah, Joe wouldn't fit. Here's Fleetwood Mac, Rock School. All right, time for the second break here on Rock School. Are you familiar with Coldplay's song Moses?
Yes.
Any idea who Moses is?
No.
No, it's Gwyneth Paltrow's second child with Coldplay singer Chris Martin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Apple and Moses.
There you are. Mm. Are you familiar with the Counting Crows' Mrs. Potter's Lullaby?
Yes.
Monica Potter was actually an actress.
Oh,
sounds
I
like you know her.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, she was in Con Air and Along Came a Spider.
And
you know
Patch
where
Adams.
She's, you know where she's from?
Shreveport.
Cleveland.
Oh, who cares about
that's
Cleveland.
The way we grow them in Cleveland, right
yeah,
there.
God.
Super duper beautiful. Apparently, Adam Duritz was so taken by her from watching, you said Patch Adams, so taken by watching her in Patch Adams, he writes this song about being romantically involved with her before he even met her.
Mm.
That's what the song is about.
Can't blame him.
And according to her, this is her quote, "We dated for 3 or 4 months and then I moved my kids back to Cleveland. We're better friends than we are lovers." That's pretty much where it ended
up. So wait, he wrote a song about her and she dated him?
Yeah.
Give me a pen.
you think you can land Miss Potter? What would your wife have to say about that?
She would understand.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Where would you think we'll find the body? Yeah. Hey, thanks for running the radio show, KLSU.
WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin, probably where you'd find the body.
Burlington. Yeah. How deeply would it be buried?
In snow.
Got to be back in 1 minute. We'll play one more for you here on Rock School. All right, last break here on Rock School, and I'm going to tell you about at least two more, see if I have time to do the third one here. I want to finish up on one by the Rolling Stones. Are you familiar with U2's song, The Sweetest Thing?
I am.
Alison Stewart, who married Paul Hewson, otherwise known as Bono, the two of them were dating when they were in, teenage sweethearts type thing.
Yeah.
In 1974, when Bono's mom died, Ali looked after him, did laundry, cooking for him, because apparently he just collapsed after it.
Mm-hmm.
They got married. Okay. He forgot her birthday while he was going ahead and recording the Joshua Tree. So what he did is he wrote the song The Sweetest Thing for her as a /birthday/gosh, I'm really sorry I did a stupid thing for you.
That's all sweet and everything, but you say that she took care of him when his mom died?
Yeah.
So you telling me before his mom died, he did all his own cooking and laundry?
Well, I don't know. Technically, I fed myself after I got married, or before I got married, but pancakes and spaghetti aren't exactly, cooking.
He's Bono!
Yeah, I know. Bruce Springsteen's Brilliant Disguise is actually about his first wife, who he divorced and went on to marry Patti Scalfia,
yeah.
Julian Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was in one of the Fletches and such. And there's a long story about why he wrote the song about her, but it's all inside of this book by Michael Heatley, The Girl and the Song. The one I want to wrap up on, The Rolling Stones, Under My Thumb. This is about a girl named Chrissy Shrimpton.
Oh, yeah, Chrissy Shrimpton.
No.
I can't even say the name.
She was a model at the time, and it's really an unfriendly story.
Well, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to end on a downer.
Apparently, she met him, Mick Jagger, by having herself crowd surfed onto a stage and then planting a kiss right on him.
That's what I would do.
And he thought that was just absolutely wonderful. However, she allowed herself to be totally dominated, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
He would pay for her bills. Mm-hmm. He would give her a car. He would do those things. As a matter of fact, in 2004, she was 58 at the time, she says she recalled he would pay her bar bills, but only on the condition that she returned when he told her to, she would do what he told her to, and all of that. And apparently, he liked being that overtly controlling person. And she had a bit of a nervous breakdown. Some people believe 19th Nervous Breakdown was also written about Chrissy Shrimpton. There's also another song from the album Aftermath called Stupid Girl, which people also believe is about Chrissy Shrimpton.
Hmm.
But the one we know for a fact that is about her is called Under My Thumb.
Would you do it?
What's that?
If
go up
said,
on stage and kiss Mick Jagger?
No. If there was a situation where if you were single and there was a band that featured a beautiful lead female singer and you really wanted to be with her and she said, "I will take care of everything. You won't have to worry about a dime, but I tell you what to do and when to do it."
And she would basically be in charge of my life?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Would I write a song for a pretty woman? Yes.
No, I know you'd do that.
Yeah. But no, no, I'd starve.
You go shopping. I'll pay for everything.
I'd starve before I let that happen. I'd starve before I let that happen.
Oh, you and your pride.
I am. Total pride. But what's she buying me? No. I would starve before. That wraps it up. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
There you go. Rolling Stones. Class is dismissed.